live. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm one of your co-hosts, Blake Ruffino. Alongside me is my counterpart and co-host, Joe DeLeon. Good evening, good sir. How are you?
I am doing great, Blake. The reason why I'm doing great is because I officially paid for my my early copy of College Football 27, and I have been awfully distracted. I don't know about you. I don't know if you've been awfully distracted by all the player ratings that have been coming out over the past day. It's been really, really distracting. You know what? It's another reminder that the season's close. We're almost getting there.
I haven't looked at but one player review or ranking. That's because you made me. Because we're going to talk about it here tonight with Jeremiah Smith. I got to be completely honest with you. I could care less. I could care less where players are ranked. I do look more at the team. I did look at the team rankings because they're an unbiased. You know, like they're unbiased in this scenario, right? Like they're not trying, like they don't care who, like they're not a fan of anybody.
Right.
So I did look at the team rankings. In reference to individual player rankings, I could care less. Because if you remember last year, Bama was at number one. Bama had the best team on the game coming out, and they were the number one overall talent team going into the game last year. So Arizona State, by the way, was in the top 10. Arizona State was at number 8. No, it didn't work out. Indiana was not in the top 15.
Well, I think it.
They were
Indiana 17, was higher
they were,
than
they were at 17. You can go look at the graphics. I think CFB Kings is the guy who put the graphic up from last year's start to this year's.
I might have to go check that out.
How about this? LSU was at 8. They didn't deserve to be at 8.
I think LSU was pretty high this year again. I think that they were right outside. Which makes sense. The thing that gets kind of weird with these rankings, there's not a lot of consistency with them. The way that it should just work conceptually is that whoever has the most talent on their teams should be the highest rated. It shouldn't have anything to do with the coaching, the development, or any of that stuff. They had a roster that LSU put together that is loaded with talent. The one that I had a real problem with, I've kind of been fine with most of them. Arch being the 6th highest rated quarterback and being a 91 overall didn't make any sense to me because, again, it comes down to who's the most physically talented player. He is the most physically talented player. People forget how athletic he is. He should not be below Julian Sain if we're talking athletic tools and traits for a video game player. He should be higher than Sain, than CJ Carr, than Jaden Maeva. The only guy that I'd concede is Dante Moore and maybe Trinidad Chambliss.
Did you just say maybe Trinidad Chambliss?
We're talking again. We are not talking about who is the better quarterback and who had the better season last year. That's not what it is.
No, I think I think Trinidad's hand and shoulders more athletic than Arch is.
But he's not 6'5".
Right. Neither is Arch.
He's 6'4". Okay, he's 6'4".
Arch isn't 6'4".
I have an official measurement. From the NFL, I'm going to pull it up right now.
And I guarantee you when he goes to the combine, it's going to be wrong. He's not 6'4".
I'm pulling it up right now.
Do you want to bet $1,000 that he's going to be 6'3.5"?
He says he's exactly 6'4", 230 pounds. He's projected to run in the 4.6s.
And let me tell you what he's not either. He ain't 230 pounds either.
Blake, he's so much bigger than you. I know that you've been been at his games before, but he's gotten a lot bigger.
Joe, he ain't 6'4".
Have you been around him recently?
Yeah. They had the Manny. He's not 6'4".
He is a big MF-er.
Yeah, okay. I am telling you, as someone who he's been around, I'm telling you, you want to bet? He ain't 6'4". By the way,
I have an official measurement from the NFL. That's not from someone who made it up.
You know who does the NFL Manning heights and weights, right?
Scouts do. NFS.
Joe, have you been there? I've been there.
The Manning Passing Academy. I'm talking about the measurement that they get when they go to the schools during the spring.
He ain't 6'4". Have those measurements ever been off from the NFL? Because Reuben Baines was desperately off this past season.
Wait, no, his measurements weren't off.
Yeah, they were off.
What were they off about?
They talked about his short arms and didn't all that kind of stuff. Joe Burrow's hands.
Yeah, but these numbers, they have sometimes the measurements for hand size and arm length can be adjusted because
I know something.
Learn how to stretch.
I know something you can measure.
All right, I tried. Whatever. I'm right about this. He's 6'4".
He's not 6'4". All right. Nevertheless, we're live. Everyone do us a favor by hitting the like and share. Joe, a massive college football coach is back. Did you hear about this today?
Oh, I did. I did hear about this.
Our new colleague, Brian Kelly, is joining the CBS team. He won't be the only college person or only person that is currently watching this show. That is going to be, or I guess we're not technically watching this show, but that will be on College Inside Football for CBS. But Brian Kelly is back, Joe. He's going to be calling games for the Mountain West. The only reason that you and I are bringing this up, I'll dive a little bit into this from an LSU perspective. There is going to be a pretty significant drop-off in this buyout money that he is owed due to this contract that he is signing with CBS. Take everything away from Brian Kelly on the field. I guess, what are your thoughts on him being back? And if you have, because we don't know the exact details of how much he's being paid, but what are your thoughts of him and LSU, for that matter, getting a reduction in that buyout because it's going to circumvent itself in that possibility? Look, I'll just say this before we get rolling on this too. I don't really think Brian Kelly's a bad dude. Being around him as much as I've been. Like, I don't think he's a horrible person to hang around or talk to. I think people are looking at him as a coach versus what I think he can do in the booth. But your thoughts?
Well, so I don't personally, never mind. I think that, I'm glad that Brian Kelly got an opportunity like this because to the truth of what you just said, he is a very great communicator. I actually think that he is a really underrated personality when it comes to being a broadcaster. I know that he's just doing Mountain West games, but I wouldn't be shocked if Brian Kelly doesn't end up working his way up and taking on some bigger opportunities. I think that this is great for him. Taking the year off and spending some time away from the sport, I think helps you appreciate it a little bit more. If you ask any coach that's done that, where they have stepped away and they've gone into broadcasting, whether it's in the halftime booth, whether it is actually broadcasting games, whatever it might be, a lot of those guys have either turned into their next opportunities into something huge. They have acknowledged that time where it was much calmer than being a coach where you're on 100% of the time allowed for them to reset in an effective manner. I feel like it wouldn't be shocking if he doesn't, in like 2 years, turn around and get hired. Maybe it's a Wisconsin, just to throw out a random one out there. Like a solid brand that is looking for a good coach. Maybe he does what Dan Mullen does, where Dan Mullen took the UNLV job. Maybe he takes like a big brand G6 team and takes over them. This is a good jumping off point. And again, it wouldn't be shocking to me if he doesn't either move up in broadcasting or if he ends up getting another solid job.
He is 64 years old. So, you know, I think if he gets a job, he's not going to want to go down in level. I mean, I do know that he was very much campaigning for the Michigan State job when it was open before it went to Fitzgerald. Look, I think people have a bad connotation towards him for a lot of reasons. And some of those reasons are because of himself. Okay. You can't take that back. So whatever you think of him, you're thinking of him as the football coach or whatever. Joe, when LSU used to do those play-by-play situations and he used to walk into the media and not know the play of what's going on, he's not scripted to talk about anything, and they put it up on the board and they do that multimedia thing with him, he goes, well, this is what we're trying to accomplish. This is why we're doing this. This is why we were trying to get this safety to do this. We were trying to do this as well. Denbrock called this because of this. I got to be real with you. He's pretty elite at that. Like, the on-the-board stuff is pretty ridiculous. Now, he's been in coaching for 30-plus years. He should be ridiculous at it. Okay.
Yeah.
So, but I will tell you, I did like when he was at LSU, the one thing I really did enjoy was hearing his thought process on things. Like, hey, as an example, why do you keep running the inside slot fade to Malik? Why do you keep doing that? Well, his answer was pretty flawless, honestly. It's because nobody could guard him. But other than that, it's like, well, if they're going to put a safety on the hash, why wouldn't we? And you have so much room to work with. And they showed this, and they, like, I remember the whole film breakdown of them versus Bama in 22. Joe, that's ridiculous. I do think he's going to have a lot of success in the booth. This will warm him up. People are clowning because it's the Mountain West. It's not, Joe, I've had over 1,500 episodes. You have as well, in reference to being live and being able to think of something on the fly. You're on live national television. It's not easy. So you get a little bit of prep. Like, they did this with Tom Brady. They've done this with, they try to do it with Drew Brees. It's not easy to, everybody says something, and this goes towards us. People are like, oh, anybody can have a microphone and talk about whatever they want to talk about. Well, then do it, because it's not easy.
Right.
It is not easy. I think he is flawless at being able to see the game from a booth, break it down, and tell you what's going on. That's my opinion of him. Good for him. Now, the more significant news in this is that it's going to be pretty much a significant decrease for LSU and a buyout for him. Now, they're still going to have to circumvent the other parts of what he's not being paid. Those numbers. Let me just say this. Do I have a pretty good idea about what CBS, our partners in CBS, is going to be paying him? Around it. Yes. That's going to come out when a public records request from people around LSU media start digging and start asking what was circumvented off of Brian Kelly's contract. With all of that being said, I do think this is a win for BK. He gets in the game. He gets to do something that he's really good at, because I do think he's exceptional at it. But what a massive win for LSU. I mean, I think that this is more of the storyline more than anything, that Joe, even if it's $100,000 a month, like, even if it's $1 million, that's $100,000 that can go to a lot of different things that you weren't anticipating on having.
Right, right. And I think that that's probably the best kind of takeaway here to throw in here for BK is, and for LSU, is that, you know, they don't have to just pay him for not doing anything. And I believe it was part of his contract that he had to look for work anyways.
Last night, he worked for 7 years.
Right. Right. So this is good for both parties involved, and curious to see how he does in the booth. But hopefully he has success in doing it, and hopefully he's fun to listen to. I don't know how many Mountain West games I'm actually going to tap into this year, but hopefully there's plenty that it's not conflicting with anything major that's happening on a Saturday.
They're priming him up to move him somewhere else. Let's just call it what it is.
Feels like it.
Certainly feels like it. All right. Well, good for BK. I don't have problems with him. I never had issues with him. I mean, he certainly did right by, at least by me, I guess I should say. Nevertheless, we're live. Everyone, do us a favor by hitting like and share. Share to all those groups if you're on Facebook by using that YouTube link. Subscribe down below. We greatly appreciate it. Wherever you listen to podcasts, rate, review, and subscribe. And if you're watching on 24/7 Sports Twitter page, do us a favor. Hit that like and retweet as well. But Joe, do you know what BK would want us to tell everybody that's listening to the show today?
What's that?
You need to head over to 24/7 Sports with all of the recruiting news that is happening. He would tell you to use that promo code RJ60 at checkout to get 60% off of your annual VIP membership. When you do that, not only does it help us in 24/7, but you get to keep up with all of the recruiting rankings and everything that your favorite team is doing in recruiting, and all of the latest intel news and breaking news for not only your team, but nationally. Again, go over to 24/7 Sports today. Use the promo code RJ60 at checkout. You'll see 50% or 60% off, excuse me, of your annual VIP membership. All right, Joe, we got lots that we need to get into here today. So, we were going to talk about the 5-for-5 rule, but that's kind of shifted a little bit here because there's so many other things that the NCAA cabinet has approved. There's some small things like I don't want to say schedule, but some OTAs that I've been begging for quite some time that can be enacted during the summer. The 5-for-5 rule is something that we're going to talk about here today as well. But there have been a lot of rule changes the NCAA cabinet has approved. Joe, I don't really want to read them all. I'm going to kind of leave this a little open-ended to you because there were so many. What are your thoughts going into all of this? And what are your thoughts in reference to the NCAA, like what seems to be moving forward on what they believe in the Protect College Sports Act is what they're trying to do?
Yeah, the biggest one that comes out of all of this, because everything else is the practice stuff is a proposal. The change to week zero is something that is going to be happening, but the eligibility stuff is a major step forward. I don't know how much weight this is going to have.
Agree.
How much they're going to be able to avoid lawsuits if somebody doesn't just come around.
It already got sued.
It got sued by Heitner, who's the one attorney who does a lot of work with college athletics. And I believe that suit was just tied to clarification for athletes that have already started competing and have already been in school and might fall under, they would need some sort of a waiver to remain eligible and also all those things. But this is, I think, a really good way of simplifying everything because the main premise is to take away waivers and to take away red shirts. And I also think it's a good thing that guys, if they're good enough that they can play for 5 full seasons, that they can get on the field and play for 5 full years. I'm almost curious if maybe does this open up the door for players to decide? I'm not saying you're going to get a 5 or a 4-star to do this, but do you get some 3-stars that decide, you know what, instead of going to Texas, I'm going to go to UTSA and I'm going to start at UTSA as a freshman and I'm going to play well as a freshman and as a sophomore, and then I'm going to transfer and then I'm going to get the chance to play for 3 more years to get NIL money for 3 more years. And if things go well enough, you go to the NFL, but not every, you know, there's a lot of guys that play 5 years of football that don't really get a real shot in the NFL. I think that this allows for dudes to get opportunities to play more, to grow more, to develop more. And those that do go to the big brands and stick around for 5 seasons to get chances to make more money. This is good across the board, more playing time, more exposure, all of those things. This is a rule that I feel like was bound to come and one that should have come for some time. The last thing I'll just throw in here, the week zero thing, and we've talked about this before, this should have been the case forever. There should not have been a waiver system. The season should have been starting a week earlier. There's no reason why it shouldn't have been.
Well, they're also doing that to help circumvent potentially an expanded playoff.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Let's
create space. Yeah.
Yeah, create space for a playoff. I mean, this has nothing to do with anything. What people are going to say about the week zero situation is that, oh, yeah, that you don't have to have a waiver now. Joe, that's like, this is such a dumb analogy, but it's an analogy that came to my mind. It's like me putting medicine in my daughter's apple juice. She thinks that she's getting apple juice. But really, and I'm telling her, hey, we're getting apple juice, and everybody's excited that you can have a week zero game. Meanwhile, there's medicine in there. So what is the medicine here? They know and probably anticipate that the college football playoff is going to expand to 24. Mm-hmm. And in that expansion of 24, yeah, they're going to want that time. And you know what else they're going to want? You can have 2 bye weeks. You can have 2 bye weeks if you do this. Teams are going to take the opportunity, if they can, to play a cupcake before they have to go play teams like Ohio State in week one. Why wouldn't they? I mean, you and I both know that that is exactly what they're going to do here. I read the week zero thing and said, okay, so basically you're telling me without telling me that y'all believe that the college football playoff is expanding to 24. That's the only way that I see it. So maybe I'm just being too negative on that. But it's been the whole reason of taking the waiver away in the first place of week zero. So that's number one. Go ahead. Yep, go ahead.
I was going to say, I get what you're saying. I don't think it guarantees that this means that they're trying to move.
No, I don't think it
guarantees it. Yeah. It could be 16, too. It could still be the 16 model or just in general.
But it's creating the space. I mean, Joe, they literally denied it last year. Why did you deny it last year? This proposal, if you read Ross Dellinger's thing, this proposal's come up four times in the last 6 years. Why now? Is it because of the heat of the college football playoff? Like, I don't know. I mean, that's just my assumption. It's the first thing I thought when I saw it. Again, maybe I'm wrong, but why now? The NCAA is not going to just give up something if they never do that. They never just give up something when they've been putting their foot down the entire time. Maybe I'm wrong. Who knows? But in reference to the 5 for 5, I don't really disagree with anything that you said. But let's just act for just a second like the Protect College Sports Act is not a thing right now. This bylaw doesn't mean anything. Because what's going to happen if a kid, like, let's just say hypothetically speaking, now this would happen for freshmen now, sophomores and juniors. What's going to happen when a senior or a guy going into being a senior or is a senior right now and is through the fourth year of eligibility, had a medical issue in the past and goes and sues the NCAA over this? You know what's going to happen, right? What's going to happen is that they're going to get popped. The guy going into their fifth year that had medical issues, that wants to play in college football again, that could make more NIL, probably not going to do anything in the NFL, they're going to sue this and they're going to win. This is going to happen if the Protect College Sports Act doesn't happen. Now, in the grand scheme of things, in the whole principle of things, this is most student athletes are going to live by this. I'm glad the NCAA did do the scenario of whatever benefits current players the best. I didn't like that you're not giving the extra year to players that are seniors now. Like, what if somebody redshirted? Or what if somebody's going to be a senior? They don't get that fifth year of eligibility. Like, if you're 4 years in, upon that date, you don't get that fifth year. I don't know if I agree with that ruling. If you've been there for four full years, you're saying, hey, maybe we're going to let you play the fifth, but it doesn't apply to you. And I get what they're trying to say. But if anybody's had a red shirt or had a medical issue in the past, I think they're going to get sued. That's the only problem I have with it. Other than that, Joe, it's pretty flawless. I mean, you can't have 25-year-old safeties starting. Yeah. You can't have a 24-year-old quarterback, nor should you have a 6-year quarterback if you're Miami starting national championship games. Like, I was asked last night as an example, Blake, then you don't agree with Will Wade, LSU's men's basketball coach. I agree with him because everybody's been doing it. I don't agree that 24, 25, 26-year-olds need to be playing college football, no, or college athletics in general. So I like the rule. Joe, I find that as most new bylaws or situations that the NCAA finds themselves in, somehow, some way, this can be sued. And until the Protect College Sports Act is there, I still have fear that it won't be. I hate to say it like this, but I feel like it's just writing on paper at the current moment when really push comes to shove. But I do think the rule is going to work very well. Here's the thing. I don't think it really affects football. Of the three main sports, I think it affects football the least, really. I know that we've had some older guys playing, and I get all that. It affects Major League Baseball and baseball in general the most, by far. Because normally in baseball, when guys become 21 or juniors, they have the most leverage to enter the draft because they can say that they're going back and they can negotiate during the entire draft with what team that they want to go to. So, for an example, if a high school player gets drafted in the first round and there's a slot value of $4 million, teams can pay him too and then go and get a second-round guy and pay him the same amount in the second round. What happens when baseball players have 2 years of leverage? Because now it's only been one. I know people don't really follow college football like that or college baseball like that. It massively could change the aspect of college baseball as a whole, especially with the MLB coming out with the announcement that, Joe, they might not take high school athletes. So that announcement coming on with the 5 for 5 could be significant. The thing for football that is obviously the biggest would just be that you're not having a 25-year-old safety making a tackle on the last drive to keep Miami out from a first down when they got to go for it on fourth. Lewis Murphy should have never been in that situation to begin with. Now, let me ask you this. Here's a question that I was posed last night, and I'll kick it your way. What happens with Trinidad Chambliss?
I mean, he's still going to play. This doesn't go into effect until 2027. What happens if the
Protect College Sports Act is passed?
I think that he's going to be grandfathered in. I don't think that there's any complication with that. I think that that's pretty cut and dry.
That's what I said too. But the reason that I was asked this question last night about it was because if it goes into effect January 1, 2027, and God forbid Ole Miss, for whatever reason, makes the playoff and they're still in it, and they have antitrust laws in place with the PCSA, could they rule him ineligible?
I don't think so. I think that this is only going to apply moving forward. I think that Trinidad Chambliss and anybody else that's been granted the ability to keep playing is going to be untouched. So I don't think that that's going to be a significant issue.
How crappy would it be, though, if it did go into effect January 1, 2027, and the act passed on the Senate floor, and then they got to a playoff and they canned him and they said he couldn't play? How crappy would that be?
I just don't think that they would do that. I think that they understand that that would – they need to handle their new power correctly, and I think that once they get that power back, they're smart enough to understand how to wield it. I don't think that they would end up doing that because it would ruin the competition. It would completely ruin the product that is on the field. So I don't think that they're going to go that far. I will say I'm intrigued by this schedule that's been pitched of altering the postseason schedule, or not postseason, the preseason schedule, rather, the spring and the summer. There's not a lot that would be completely, utterly, totally different from the way that I was reading it, unless I'm misinterpreting it, but on more on-field activity for players. And it also indicated that they would shorten the preseason, which is totally fine by me if they were to do that. I think that having more spread out time and opportunities for coaches to work with players is good. I'm curious to see how this ends up actually getting enacted, but the potential for this OTA style offseason, I think that would be really good for player development, because right now there's just a lot of time off in between the end of the season, spring practices, and fall camp and the start of the season.
The dumbest rule in NCAA history is that coaches can't interact with their current players before the season during the summer. Do you know how stupid that is? Do you know?
Yeah, it's dumb.
I want to say a harsher word than that, but it is dumb diddy dumb dumb. Why can't you? It makes the product better. Why not? Like, what are we doing? Joe, I even though I love that there are some schedule amendments and coaches can be on the field, can I just be blunt with you? I think they need to rip that rule or bylaw to complete shreds. Why are we given time limits? Now, you can do days if you want to, but let coaches be involved in what's going on. Like, why do we keep taking time away from coaches interacting with their own players? How stupid is that? Like, I've never agreed with that. I'm glad that there's going to be a period for OTAs. Offense and defensive lines, mainly offensive lines, need it more around the country than anybody.
Right.
You can't offensive lines can't coach themselves. Like, receivers, they can do things with routes and timing for quarterbacks and wide receivers and running backs. Offensive line, it takes such a massive toll on people. Like, I still remember two-a-days, Joe. Like, you want to know why offensive linemen were more developed 10 years ago, literally a decade ago? Because they went through two-a-days. That's why.
Yeah, yeah. Got killed the last year that I was in college. The last year of it was my first year in college.
Was having to go to practice at 6 a.m. and then having to wait all the way until 6 p.m. for another practice. Like, what are you going to do all day? I went back to my apartment.
During 2 days, we usually were just in the facility the whole time. That sucked, because we would have morning practice, we'd have lunch, and then you'd be back in the facility for meetings, and then you'd be right back on the field. Now, we used to mess around, the kickers and punters and snappers. We didn't have meetings in between, so we would just, you know, we would just go in the training room. We would sit in the cold tub and stuff like that. So I didn't have like a real two a day. I wasn't getting hit like that, like the linemen were. But
we got we had a PS4 in our commons area. Mm. Every controller in there got broke.
Wait, no, that would have been a PS.
Or was it PS3?
Yeah.
No, I think it was a PS. No, you're probably right.
Yeah, no, PS4 came out when I was in high school.
Or Xbox.
Was it an Xbox 360?
Yeah, because I remember one time, was it called the Ring of Fire? You know,
like yeah,
the
it turns red.
The Death of Fire or whatever, Ring of Fire. Maybe it was an Xbox. I'm getting too old for this crap. But yeah, I do like it. I'm glad they're being a little bit more loose with coaches being able to actually be around their players for once. All right.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
Speaking of that video game, Joe, you brought this up earlier, but a lot of people have been talking about this. Jeremiah Smith is 99 rated overall on the new EA Sports College Football 27 game. I personally didn't really care. Like, I guess I was more like, duh. Maybe I was too oblivious to why people were overreacting to this. Maybe I'm just dumb. But Jeremiah Smith is rated 99 overall on the video game. I'm still old enough to remember when Randy Moss had 100 speed and nobody could catch him on Madden that one year. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on Jeremiah Smith being rated 99 overall on the new college football video game?
Well, so the significance with this is that he is the first ever 99 overall for the reboot of the college football video game. So in the first 3 years of this new version of the game existing, they have never given a 99 overall out. And it makes sense, Blake. It makes a lot of sense. We got to take into account that the top players going into the upcoming year of the release of the game are sophomores, juniors. They're guys that haven't played that much football. There aren't that many guys returning in college football that have enough experience to be a 99 overall or higher than a 95. Jeremiah Smith is the no-brainer option here. Like you said, it's a total duh moment. There has been a little bit of a weird discourse overall this whole summer that if you project and you say Jeremiah Smith is a generational player in college football, people push back on it. People, for some reason, it keeps happening. There's this response of how we use the word generational too much. Stop using the word generational. Stop putting that on Jeremiah Smith.
Well, and I hate
that.
I hate when a four-star kid commits and they call him elite.
Right,
we're
throwing that word around a little too much.
I'm like, you throw that word around way too much.
The one guy that it's allowed for is Jeremiah Smith, the guy who was built like he was a fifth-year senior the second that he stepped on campus. He's 6'3", 225 pounds, and moves like a receiver half his size. He is a bucket every single time you throw him the ball. He's got one of the lowest drop rates in college football over the last couple of years. From a statistical standpoint, he's been comically good. He's had 2,500 receiving yards and 27 touchdowns. The only like two other notable guys that had more production in their very first 2 years in college football that I found was Michael Crabtree, who had 3,100 total yards and 41 touchdowns, and Larry Fitzgerald, who had 2,600 total yards and 34 touchdowns. But from a physical standpoint, on top of the stats, Blake, he is one of the craziest athletes we've ever seen at receiver. And I know that you got guys like Nick Harbor who are really good athletes. He actually takes the athleticism and he turns it into plays. There are not very many dudes in the history of college football that have done what Jeremiah Smith has done, and there aren't very many guys that have been built the way that Jeremiah Smith is built.
I saw a lot of people asking today who is Sadre Hurst, the guard from Houston. If you don't know, you need to know.
He's a small interior offensive lineman, but that dude.
Yeah, I don't give two Rudy Poos. So first and foremost, I could, you know, screenshots never die, by the way. And when Houston played LSU, I was like, I don't give a two Rudy Poos if he's 6'2 or 6'3. He's moving people. That's neither here nor there. In reference to Jeremiah Smith being 99 overall, yeah, no duh. That's like when you had situations where Larry Fitzgerald was at 98 because they didn't think a player deserved to be 99 overall. Joe, there are different people. He is a different person. That's going to come out wrong. He is a different level of dude than everybody else. He is bigger. He is stronger. He is faster than all of his counterparts. There is no reason that a dude that's 6'3", 225, 230 pounds, who should be playing backer, runs the way that he runs. Does the things that he does. Now, I saw some of the comments of people overreacting, saying, well, he had some drops this year. Okay, well, he can have hauls like cough drops. I don't care. He's still really good. He's the best player in the sport for a reason. Joe, the Heisman Trophy is supposed to go to, as an example, not the best season, the best player. He should, if he has the same exact season he just had, he is the best player on planet Earth from a college football perspective. It's not close. So people reacting, overreacting, maybe to even me underreacting, I really come away with this as a duh moment. Joe, he literally got double teamed as a true freshman in the playoff because teams were terrified of him. Teams were literally using triple blanket coverage in a cover two scenario, Tampa two, when you watch the film where you got a corner in front of him, a safety behind him, and a linebacker that can cut underneath. The only other person I saw a team do that to was Jamar Chase against Oklahoma in the playoffs 6 years ago, whatever it was. Yeah, no duh. Well, Justin Jefferson had four touchdowns and that stopped really quickly. He is the best wide receiver that I have seen since Jamar. If I'm just being – name a better receiver better than him since then. Because I can't name one. And I think when it's all said and done, he has the potential to be better than him. Because he's bigger. He's stronger. I don't know if he's completely faster. But he's big. If they're the same speed, he's still bigger and stronger. And, well, they are the exact same speed. This is no duh. I did go down the list, by the way, to see all of the dudes. I agree with you. Boy, here come the Ohio State fans yelling at me. We just praised one of your guys. Julian Sain has no business being where he is. I'm sorry, he doesn't. Now, if you go down the list, Julian Sain is right behind Cade or Dante Moore. His ranking is 94 overall. He don't deserve that, Joe. I don't think he should be ranked higher than Trinidad Chambliss. If I'm going to be honest with you, I think Trinidad Chambliss is ranked too low. I think Trinidad should have been in the top five based off of what he did last year. That's just me. Maybe it's because of size. Maybe, I don't know. I don't think that he should have been behind Kawan Lacy. Kawan Lacy's at 96. I think Trinidad should have been above him. He's a quarterback, for crying out loud. Like, what are we talking about? But I'm off my soapbox now. I did find it funny, though, that Missouri had two of the top four players. Did you notice this? Caden Green, yeah, and Todd Hardy were number three and number four. That was kind of nuts.
Yeah, Caden Green, yeah, it really is kind of crazy that they've got players that are ranked that high because, I mean, do we really think that Missouri is going to be that good this upcoming year? That is, well, the video game is kind of nuts.
It doesn't draw into the factor of how Amadi Hardy is going to return from being shot. Right? Like, I mean,
well, yeah, that's, you know, I mean, that's a good point, but right, I mean, even if none of that had happened,
Caden Green was ahead. There was the first offensive lineman on the, or second offensive lineman on the board.
I would have thought that Trevor Goosby, or I would have thought that Jordan Seaton would have been number one there. That was quite surprising. What did you think of Malachi Toney being the second highest rated wide receiver? And he was ahead by four total points, ahead of Cam Coleman, Deuce Robinson, and KJ Duff, who were all tied for third. Cam Coleman's got to be higher. And I don't know how Charlie Becker didn't make it into the top 10. That doesn't make any sense to me.
The reason why I think that they did that with Cam Coleman is Cam still got to prove some stuff now. Like he's got, like he's Jeremiah. Like if Jeremiah Smith is Miller Lite, Cam Coleman's Bud Light. By the way, it's the same recipe for people who don't know. I mean, it's you didn't know that. It's the same. It's the same exact.
Well, that's different.
People are like, well, because it's brewed technically different, but it's the same exact ingredients.
Okay.
It's like if you make a pepperoni pizza and I make a pepperoni pizza, it's the same exact cheese, same exact sauce, same exact bread. But what's the difference? Maybe because I'm more Italian than you. I don't know.
Okay.
However, in all happenstance, there is something to be said that Cam Coleman still has to kind of go out and prove that he's a number one dude. Right? Like, I mean, we see all the freakish athletic ability, but Joe, he's still got to go out there and prove it a little too. I wasn't surprised by that because Malachi Toney did prove it. He literally went out there and proved it, and you can't deny what he did. I wasn't shocked by that. If there was somebody that I was really, really, really shocked by, this is probably going to get me in trouble. Uh-oh. I was, and because I'm an LSU guy, how in the world do you have Terrence Carter Jr. as the number one tight end over Tre'Davious Green?
No. He's Tre'Davious is number one.
No, Terrence he's not. Carter. I'm looking
not
at
this right. graphic. This graphic Terrence they posted Carter, has
Terrence Carter. I mean, they're both 92, but on EA Sports' rankings, Terrence Carter is ahead of Tre'Davious Green by one. I mean, I'll send you the screenshot.
I agree with you on this. I don't think that you're. I'm looking at this graphic that they posted. It says Tre'Davious Green one, Terrence Carter two. It's on their main page, the College Football 27 page. I agree with you though. There should be more separation because Tre'Davious Green is probably the craziest athlete outside of Jeremiah Smith in all of college football. I mean, he's like Kyle Pitts athletic. There is rareness to what he is able to do, and he didn't have a quarterback last year that was going to be able to set him up to succeed effectively enough. Tre'Davious Green is going to do.
He's one golf swing away too soon.
Wait, what is that a reference to?
Garrett, never mind. Keep going.
Oh, yeah, that is a little too soon. that's crazy. Tre'Davious Green, though, I think that I do agree with you. I don't think anybody should be in the same category as him. I also would have thought that Jamar Johnson would have been higher because he was pretty important for Oregon last year.
That's true too. Mario Craver kind of down there. I mean, I guess it is what it is. I'm going down this list. How about Cooper Barkate at 90 overall?
Again, I don't understand how Charlie Becker isn't higher. I don't understand how Becker isn't in the top 10. Better than Cooper Barkate's a great receiver, but Charlie Becker is going to be a first-round pick. I firmly believe that.
And to wrap up the top, by the way, Luke Haas was in the top 50. Okay, Luke Haas got benched. Luke Haas got benched. So I'm like, okay, whatever. All right. That's neither here nor there. Oh, boy, our favorite topic.
Oh, boy.
Our favorite topic. Brendan Sorsby is not going to be eligible for the supplemental NFL draft, Joe, mainly due to the fact, well, there is no NFL supplemental draft this year. NFL came down with a ruling. It isn't happening. He did withdraw his lawsuit from getting the TRO, so he can't go back to Texas Tech. I don't really know what to say here, Joe. I don't, you know, like it's over. Good for him, I guess. Go get the help that you need. What are your thoughts on Brendan Sorsby and the news of there not being a supplemental draft being held?
I want to be very clear here that I have wished no ill will on Brendan Sorsby because I did want to see him get the opportunity to play in the NFL. I wanted to see, after he turned the page, what his professional career could look like because he is very talented. But Blake, I don't think anybody has. Let me rephrase. I was going to lead that in. Everybody around Brendan Sorsby did him a disservice. Nobody helped him. No one. And this is something that, Blake, I feel like we have spent so much time yelling about on this show that none of this helps Brendan Sorsby. Everybody wanted to act like they had Brendan Sorsby's best interest in mind, and they didn't. Because all of these steps that they had, where the minute he got popped, checking into a gambling addiction facility in order to skirt the whole situation to prove he had a mental illness, and then to file a lawsuit when the ruling didn't go your way, to get the lawsuit to go your way because it was filed by a local judge, to have the crap with Cody Campbell and the statements by Cody Campbell, and then to have Cody Campbell clearly get some sort of have some sort of influence that had the AG write that letter that he did towards the Big 12, to the point where he was then deemed ineligible and or not deemed ineligible, but was told to jump to the NFL after the whole thing with the Big 12 that had occurred. The way that this letter was written by the NFL was unbelievable. It was unbelievably scathing. And the way that I took at this was not because I wanted Sorsby to be put in his place. I wanted everybody around him that was delusional. I am glad that somebody had the nuts to stand up and to actually illustrate how severe this situation is. I mean, the highlighting of the fact that there was a lack of accountability shown through the entire process, which was the main concern, is exactly what everybody has been trying to say. It's not about what he did. It's the fact that he wasn't taking accountability for it. And he cooked himself by trying to file the lawsuit the way that they did. The NFL did not completely shut the door. And I think that it is ludicrous for Jeffrey Kessler to think that they can now sue the NFL into getting him on the field. The NFL is not going to help him.
I hope he does, because
they don't have enough money in this world, Blake, to do that. This is the NCAA.
I hope he does, because I hope Kessler gets put in his place. I really hope Kessler gets taken to town on this. I got to be real to your point, because he enabled this. Cody Campbell and Jeffrey Kessler enabled this. So let me just ask this question. When this whole process started, to your point, they came out, Kessler and Cody Campbell came out and said that Brendan Sorsby has a mental health issue. Okay, hold on. I think what they thought was going to happen is that everybody would take a step back and be like, hey, man, the dude's got a problem. Y'all need to chill out. Like, don't be poking fun or don't be – well, then you've never been on Twitter, okay? Because if you thought that people weren't going to poke fun at this – then you're an idiot. They mismanaged the PR situation. They thought that people would take a step back and be like, hey, man, this isn't good. He's got a mental health problem. Okay. So you mean to tell me that you tried to get a young man eligible so that he could make money and you sued because of damages? Remember, the TRO was granted not off of eligibility, off of damages that could be occurred that would be lost. And you want to give him $5 million? He's got a gambling problem. You just admitted that he's got mental health. Then you read the NFL's letter being like, this didn't technically happen. Technically, I felt like Roger Goodell pretty much is coming out and saying, don't be an idiot. Y'all are idiots. How in the world can you allow for a guy to not only place bets, but to place bets on his own team, regardless of when it was? Like, how are you even allowing this to happen? Joe, he needs to be look, do I think he has a problem? Actually, no, I don't. I think he knew exactly what he was doing. I think the whole mental health issue was quite honestly made up and fake. Regardless of that, there has to be ramifications of these actions. And it's crazy that the NFL is the one handing it down. because that's what's really happening here. Joe, you don't, you have a older brother, correct? If memory serves.
You're older.
Okay. Yeah. You know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of you doing something as the younger brother. I'm a younger brother as well. You as a younger brother doing something and you going to your older brother saying, hey, man, what did you think about me doing this? And your older brother looking at you and being like, are you a complete idiot? Like, that's how I view what the NFL just did. Yeah. Are you a complete idiot? He's got to face ramifications for his horrible actions. Bottom line. And so do I hope that he gets a second chance? Yes. Do I think that he's going to get a second chance? Yes. I also think that this is the best thing that could happen to Brendan Sorsby. Because what is going to happen in 300, a little bit less, what is going to happen, Joe, in 365 days? People are going to forget, they're going to forgive, and life is going to happen without him. And so just like what's happened in the past with players who have had issues, like I remember Tyrann Mathieu getting kicked off of LSU for a weed issue and still getting drafted. People thought he had a drug problem. He was just smoking some weed. Most states, it's legal now. So I think that this is going to go on without the year, and somebody's going to take a risk on him in the fourth, fifth, sixth round, and he's going to play NFL football next year.
I do think that the sad outcome here, though, is I don't think that he's going to get drafted. I don't. I don't think
after a year and time's taken off.
I think that a lot of teams are not going to want to take the risk. Somebody's going to luck out and get a really good opportunity for a starter as an undrafted free agent. But it comes down to, if the NFL was this scathing and was this direct, and this clearly wasn't the circumstance of where it normally happens, where you petition and then nobody in the NFL says they're interested. There probably were teams that were interested. It seems like,
well, all 32 teams were going to the,
right, they were going to go to his pro day. Someone clearly stepped in the commissioner's office to say, we can't allow for a kid who did this to just walk right into the NFL. We just can't. We have to hold him accountable after everything that went down. He's trying to avoid punishment for a gigantic mistake that he made that we hold people incredibly accountable for. So they had two options. They suspend him for the year after he gets picked in the supplemental draft, or they suspend him now. But I'm just saying that I think there's a chance for rumination over the course of the year where teams, one, are going to overthink this and maybe go through the whole process of deciding, hey, do we really want to deal with this kid after everything that he went through? Is he actually better? And the other part, I think that there's going to be other kids that recency bias is going to allow for them to get picked earlier. There are going to be guys that have good seasons where teams are going to go, well, Brendan took the year off and he's got this gambling problem, but Darian Mensah looked really good. Even though Darian Mensah wasn't in the first round mocks during the summer, he had a really good year. We'd rather just take him instead of the risk of Sorsby.
I'd take him now, even if he didn't gamble.
But I'm just using an example. There's two guys that are very clearly going to go in the first round at this moment. Dante Moore and Arch Manning. There are like five dudes who have the chance to jump. Okay. I'm not including Sam Levitt. Well, Sam Levitt's one of those guys, like those six guys that are in the mix to go in the first round if their season goes well. Sam Levitt, Nico Iamaleava, Damon Williams, Lenora Sellers, CJ Carr, Darian Mensah, Jaden Maiva,
Julian Sayin.
There's a long list. There's like possibly eight guys that not all eight of them are going to go in the first round. That's not what I'm saying.
Six of those teams are coming back.
Right. There's a possibility that that happens too. But my point is that there's going to be players who rise with a good class over the course of the year. And the NFL is just going to look at those guys and say, well, we know what this guy can do. And he doesn't have a gambling problem. So, you know, we'll just wait and see. And if there's a quarterback's the one position where if you have baggage, it kills your draft stock. Like, you're cooked. Look at Shedeur Sanders. He would have probably had been a third round pick if it wasn't for the distractions that he brought to the table. So teams decided to wait even longer.
Alfredo Mendoza is going to be in that list too.
Alberto. Alfredo. That's crazy.
Alfredo. Connor, you know,
Alfredo.
Hey,
I wonder if he goes and plays JUCO though. I kind of wonder if, like, because Hunter Deckers did.
All right. So I was thinking about that. I think he needs to take the year off. Look, you got.
I kind of need to get some playing time. Go do
No, don't go, because you then you risk all of it. Then you really risk injury. Don't risk it. Let people calm down and then go.
Okay.
Show that you have been rehabilitated. Show that and give document. Can I tell you what I would do? I would literally start proving now that I'm not placing bets. I would
give a year's worth of proof that you haven't touched
a year's
betting app.
A year's worth of proof that you're out of it. Joe, I hear what you're saying, like Shador. You know what came up in my mind, and I brought this scenario up earlier when we've talked about this. Mike Vick served prison time. Mm-hmm. Like, the Federal Bureau of Investigation got involved in a situation that crossed state lines and arrested Mike Vick, and he served prison time. And he got out and then went right back. Here's the truth. If somebody thinks you're good enough, they're going to take you.
That's fair. One of the things that I take you.
You mean to tell me that there aren't owners out there that will tell Roger Goodell to shut up?
Well, I think plenty of them do it often, but I think that Goodell has more power than any decision maker in any of the other sports.
Do you think Goodell really has more power than Jerry Jones?
Yes.
Can I tell you why
he could put him into a blocker?
Can I tell you why I don't believe that? Because when Jerry wanted Oakland to be moved to Vegas with all of the gambling stuff, it was Jerry Jones that got all the owners to override what Goodell wanted. I think if push came to shove, these owners can get done what needs to be done.
I guess that's fair. I think an interesting option, even though maybe you don't want him to go JUCO, the Chinese National Football League
started a play a week ago.
I think he should make the jump.
The score would be 117-0 by halftime.
Come on, man. I'm just telling you, go become a national hero in China and then come back to the NFL.
Yeah.
Your college season.
Don't do that. Take the year off. Show that you've rehabilitated. Go work out and do what you need to do. I mean, shit, if Cody Campbell's got sitting presidents and AD and AGs on his speed dial, you mean to tell me that he doesn't have the McNair family on his speed dial that will pick him up? Let me tell you what's going to happen here. He's going to continue to back this kid. It's going to happen.
Oh, yeah, he's doubled down like four times now. So, yeah. And the question has been asked, how are they able to afford all of these lawyer fees? Clearly,
He's funneling
back at him.
Yeah, he's funneling it. Do you think rehab was free? By the way, as someone who has a close member that I'm associated with who's been there multiple times, it's not free. It's not cheap either. Like, Joe, there's some facilities that are $1,000 a day.
Yeah.
No, I mean, $1,000.
Maybe one day.
Your rich ass does make $1,000 a day.
Okay. All right.
All right. Do we have any? No.
No super chats.
Okay. No super chats. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Let's not pull those up on the screen.
Okay. Do you think he's being blackballed by the NFL? Because
they put the comment in there at the end that they're willing to let him enter the 2027 draft. So, he's not being told no.
No, he's not being told. He's being told no right now.
I was about to say, we can't pull those on the screen, but what's going on, man? Juan,
what's going on with you in the chat, brother? Brother,
it's 8 o'clock on a Wednesday. It's 8 o'clock on a Wednesday.
Juan needs a woman in his life.
Go to church.
Juan needs Jesus. Juan, go find Jesus. He needs Jesus. It's not Jesus. He needs Jesus. All right. We're out of here. Well, I think I'll be, yeah, we'll be back by Sunday. We'll be back.
Possibly. We got to talk about that. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We'll see y'all soon. Y'all have a good night. Peace.